ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7-9, सो विल रीड टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। कार्पण्य दोषोपहत स्वभावः पृच्छामि त्वां धर्म सम्मूढचेताः यच्छ्रेयस्यान्निश्चितं ब्रूहि तन्मे शिष्यस्तेऽहं शादिमां त्वां प्रपन्नम्। कार्पण्यदो ट्रांसलेशन। नाउ आई एम कन्फ्यूज्ड अबाउट माई ड्यूटी and have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I am asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life which happen without our desire. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the signs of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, the perplexed man is described as follows. Yova etad aksharam gargi avid samal lokat praitisa kripanaha. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs without understanding signs of self-realization. This human form of life is a most valuable asset for the living entity who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity properly is a miser. On the other hand, there is a Brahmana, or he who is intelligent enough to utilize his body to solve all the problems of life. Ya etat aksharam gargi viditva samal lokat praiti sa brahmanaha. The kripanas or miserly persons waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc. in the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, namely to wife, children and other members on the basis of skin disease. The kripana thinks that he is able to protect his family members from death, or the kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from the verge of death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals who take care of children also. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duties. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and disciple are serious. And now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master of the science of Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna is the first disciple for understanding the Gita. However, how Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet, foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without. And one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool in trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Hare Krishna. The background for this verse has been that Arjuna, standing in between the two armies, the Kauravas and the Pandavas, along with his dearmost friend Madhava, he is in a perplexed state of consciousness. There is a battle about to ensue, but before this battle begins, Arjuna has a battle within his mind. Whether it's appropriate for me to fight with my own elders, whether it is okay that I snatch the kingdom from my dear brother Duryodhan and start ruling it in his absence. How will I even enjoy a kingdom tainted with the blood of my superiors and my dear brothers? So he's having a very strong battle within his mind. And because of that, he's extremely confused. So he's trying to take different stands. And as has been discussed already, one stand that he was trying to take was that I'm not justified in fighting this battle. He gave logical reasons. Well, brother against brother is not the right thing to do. Relative against relative is not the right thing to do. And moreover, a Kshatriya's business is to bring structure into the society. I'll be breaking that very structure. Right? I lose my elders. So for the few years of being a king, I would have to suffer reactions for millions of years. So there are six reasons like that. Reactions, the entire social structure breaking, etc. And generally, if you try to put yourself in the situation of Arjuna, think that you are a surgeon. If a surgeon has his child to be operated, he will perhaps list himself as the last person to operate on his own child, because he understands the seriousness of the situation. He is in no way prepared to gamble, right? So for us, as audience, as spectators, maybe easy to think, Arjuna was confused. But actually speaking, think of operating on your own child. So Prabhupada also explains in a purport earlier that this battlefield was like an operation theater. And the weeds had to be removed. The unwanted elements had to be removed. So Arjuna is confused because the operation involves his own near and dear ones. So we can try and empathize with Arjuna's situation. Because the more we do that, the more we will understand that the problems we encounter in our own lives are really petty compared to Arjuna's. Not even worth comparing. So, again, there were several fallacies in Arjuna's arguments. Right? Like one fallacy Govind Prabhu was explaining in Sunday morning Bhagavatam class was that Arjuna is very presumptuous and thinking that, well, what if my relatives die? How will I rule the kingdom? But what is the guarantee that your relatives will die at your hands? Yes, undoubtedly Arjuna had got the Pashupat Astra when he pleased Lord Shiva in a battle. Undoubtedly he had been blessed by Indra. But still, whom was he going to face? He was going to face Bhishma Dev. And as long as Bhishma Dev existed between the two armies, not a single commander from either side would die. It's a big jinx to break. Bhishma Dev, before he is dead, nobody else can die on the opposite side. And Bhishma Dev has taken, he has his Ichha Mrityu, right? So think of Arjuna's situation. He's thinking that, what if they die? But what is the guarantee they'll die? So that's a big fallacy in his argument. That's what Govind Prabhu was explaining. Even most of the deaths were miraculous. Bhishma Dev's death was so miraculous. They had to bring Shikhandi, right? Dronacharya, no way he could be killed. Again, what's this elephant's name? Ashwatthama, Hataha. So tricks had to be employed. Karna had Brahmastra, that had to be put in vain. For that, there was Ghatotkaj. So somehow tricks had to be employed, and Krishna was engaged all the time, thinking. Anxiety, there was a drama this time by devotees. How Krishna takes anxiety for his devotees. So it was not an easy call for him to assume. And a very significant word here used here is Kutastva Kashmalam. idam. Kashyamala means, in one of the previous verses, where have these impurities come upon you? And Arjuna here is admitting what exactly that impurity is. He's saying, karpanya. Karpanya means kripana, miserliness. And Prabhupada cites definitions from the scriptures of what karpanya means, kripana means. So, we are familiar with people who are very miserly when it comes to spending money. So, what is this miserliness all about? Actually speaking, miserliness has to do everything with penny wise and pound foolish. You are counting your pennies, but there is a very important investment and you don't make that. So all your money is useless. Just like there is a fable, a man, he was so miserly, that his son got frustrated and left home. And he insisted, he kept being miserly, he didn't change. This didn't give him enough a jolt. And he employed a servant, but he would be very stingy. I mean, he employed a servant almost when he was completely incapacitated. And he would be very stingy in paying the servant also. But very soon it dawned upon him that he might have to leave his body. I mean, he might have to die. What will happen to all the wealth that he has amassed till that point? So, he got a brilliant idea. He went to the outskirts of the town one day, hired some people, of course he had to pay some money for that, did that unwillingly, dug a big pit and took all his wealth there, put it inside that pit, and he arranged a door for that pit. Came back and told the servant, you know, dear boy, this small boy, you know, dear boy, I have a big wealth, a treasure that I'm going to leave for you. This boy was happy. My entire employment, he has not paid me anything. At least something, I'll get surplus. So, boy is excited. The old man took the boy to the outskirts of the village the next day. And he said, please enter this pit. The wealth is there, waiting inside for you. He opened the pit. And this boy went inside very excitedly. And the man was shining his torch or whatever, lantern. The boy looked around, was very happy, satisfied. Suddenly, he heard a sound, thud. And he looked up. The old man had shut the lid of the pit. And he heard, tuck. The old man had put a latch outside the lid. Why? Because the old man wanted that the wealth be preserved as it is and it be in the hands of someone. At the same time, it not be spent. That was his miserliness. So, that was it. The boy, whatever happened. He went back home. On his deathbed in a few days, his son, he got the news that my dear father, my miserly father, is about to leave his body. He came rushing. He said, dear father, why didn't you call me? Father said, I didn't know where you were. So, they were exchanging grief. That's what generally people in the material world have to do. And then, the son said, dear father, after I left you, I got married and I had a son. Oh, father said, wonderful, where is my grandson? He said, well, I happened to inherit your quality of miserliness and my son got frustrated, he left home. Really? How did he look? And the son started explaining how his grandson looked. And the father, he got a heart attack and died. Because the servant whom he had employed happened to be his own grandson. So this is the nature of miserliness. This is like a story from the fables. How miserliness can land up biting one's own foot. So Arjuna was giving reasons, but he didn't really understand what was the ultimate benefit. There are two things, Shreyas and Prayas. You have a temporary benefit and you have an eternal benefit. This entire material world, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, this entire planet is filled with people who are short-sighted, who just want the immediate gains. Right? Just like if you were to travel a city, travel to a city and you were given an address, a map along with the address, the map of the city. And you travel to the city and you, let's say it was Chicago, you landed at the airport, hired a car and drove. And you kept driving, trying to hit the third block which is supposed to come after the second block. But every time you drive, it's the fourth block that comes after the second block. You do this throughout the day. You think perhaps I need to press my accelerator a bit more because of the city of Chicago for whatever reason. And you do that. Still, you don't reach your destination. And then you have, maybe I think I should refuel myself. You eat some burger. You don't still reach. Maybe I should refuel the tank. You do that. Nothing helps. Third gear, fourth gear, gearless car doesn't work. Then you get a call from your dear friend who had actually printed out the map for you. He said, "Dear friend, I'm very sorry. By mistake, I printed a map of Detroit. It was not a map of Chicago." Right? So you're working very hard with a short-sighted view, but your map is itself wrong. So unless you have the basics correct, all your temporary attempts like that, all our temporary attempts like that of a firefly will only land up burning ourselves, ending our life. So that was a problem. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he has written a couple. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, a wonderful devotee who has written many books. And he has a series of books called Spiritual Warrior. And there he likens our situation to that of Arjuna, but the war is really within our heart. And I'll just read out. He says that a spiritual warrior, a spiritual warrior's conception came out of realizing that every day we are all on a battlefield, that there are constant challenges and attacks that manifest in so many different ways. One must be very careful to not become a casualty, and even when one becomes wounded, they should be able to pick themselves up and to continue accelerating toward victory. Just as in a battle, one must not only be good at what one does, know the proper things and the proper people to associate with, from alliances with, or form alliances with, or one must be just as expert as at understanding what is to be avoided and what the adversaries are. In any case, he lists some qualities a spiritual warrior must have. Sense control and mastery of the mind. So the verses you have read so far, Prabhupada in purport also explains that Arjuna actually had sense control. Because he was willing to sacrifice his own sense gratification for the sake of the well-being of others. Humility, compassion, pridelessness, etc., etc. But there is one very, very important element which Arjuna was missing. And that is surrender to divine will. And without that element, one will always be confused. Unless one knows that there is a superior person without whose sanction not a blade of grass can move, all one's good qualities will be to no avail. And that was Arjuna's precise problem. Prabhupada says the nature of this world itself is that everyone is bewildered at every moment. There's some cause of bewilderment or the other. So, how do we understand what the ultimate good is? How do we understand what the right map of my life is? So, in the Yajurveda, there is a nice story of a boy, Nachiketa. It's a long story, but in essence, this boy, somehow, by his father's arrangement, he happens having an audience with Yamaraj. Yamaraj is the lord of death. And he has the privilege of asking a question from Yamaraj. So the question he puts forth is, what happens after death? And Yamaraj, it's a very nice conversation. Yamaraj tries to convince this boy, "Dear boy, don't ask me this question, because many devatas, they are also bewildered about this point. And they also ask the same question. It's a very prized answer, which I can't leak." But this boy, he's insistent. "No, please tell me." Said, "Dear Nachiketa, if you refrain from asking this question, I will give you opulence which is unimaginable. So please, take back your question." This boy says, "What will all your opulence do? Some point of time, my body is going to dwindle. Then can I enjoy any of your opulence?" The problem with our material body is that both in terms of duration and in terms of quantity, our enjoyment capacity is very restricted. So what is the use of all that wealth? So in this way, Yamaraj was trying to tempt him in so many ways. "Please don't seek answer to this question." But this boy, Nachiketa, withstood all the tests. And eventually he got the answer. That there is one path leading to eternal bliss and the other leading to temporary joy. The path leading to temporary pleasures is something that has no end. because you'll be always hankering. Your heart will never be satisfied, never satiated with fulfillment of material desires, so-called fulfillment. Or the other is understanding your transcendental self, who you are, what's your eternal identity, and how you're entrapped in this body, which is simply a flash in eternity. So like this, this boy was so keen, he withstood many tests. So Arjuna also is actually going through a test, a serious test. But he is coming to a right conclusion now. He's setting an example for all of us. Actually, Arjuna can never get bewildered because he is an eternal associate of the Lord. But see, he's setting an example. Even in the most bewildering conditions, if all roads seem to be blocked, turn to the Supreme Lord. Turn to the Supreme Lord and pray to Him. Srila Prabhupada was once walking, having a morning walk with some of His disciples. And He was giving instructions to His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Nice instructions. And there was one devotee, Mahabuddhi Prabhu, who was overhearing the instructions and he was thinking, only if Prabhupada gives me also some instruction. And Prabhupada somehow read his mind. And Mahabuddhi Prabhu asked Prabhupada, we are not so educated, but we are actually distributing books, transcendental literature, in college libraries where there are very educated professors. So sometimes I feel, how will I convince them? And Prabhupada in reply said, just pray to Krishna. Krishna will give you the intelligence. Krishna is already giving you the intelligence. And this devotee, he wanted some more personal instruction. So when he solicited that, Srila Prabhupada said, please pray to Krishna every day. We all should pray to Krishna every day. That, oh Lord, please give me the intelligence. Please give me the understanding so that I think in harmony with your desires. And Mahabuddhi Prabhu said, yes. Okay, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada, as if to reassure that this was his instruction, he said, will you do this? He said, yes, I will do, Prabhupada. Every day? And Mahabuddhi Prabhu said, yes, every day I will do. So this is what is recommended. That we somehow seek shelter of the Supreme Lord or His representatives and try to understand what His desire is. There is a very nice actual real life story that is quoted in one of the naval books. There were two naval luminous bodies floating in the ocean. It was perhaps Pacific Ocean, pitch dark late in the night, and both these bodies seemed to be on course for a head-on collision. So this one body, which was a big ship, the commander, he sent out a signal to the other body that we are on course of a head-on collision, request you to shift by 20 degrees. Back came a reply. Request you to shift by 20 degrees. No, he couldn't take it because he was a big man. Said, better shift by 20 degrees. This is the commander-in-chief. Back came a signal. This is second-class seaman, request you to shift by 20 degrees. Second-class seaman, instructing me to shift by 20 degrees. He couldn't take it. He was furious. Another signal. Shift by 20 degrees. This is battleship. Back came a reply. Request you to shift by 20 degrees. This is a lighthouse. This is a lighthouse. So, many times we try to, we may think, I will go against the laws of nature and I have full control. I'll be able to manipulate to any extent I want. But no, there are certain lighthouse principles which you cannot break. Like the director of Ten Commandments movie, he made a nice statement that you cannot break the Ten Commandments. You can only break yourself against the Ten Commandments. Right? So, you only break yourself. That's what happened to Arjuna. Arjuna thought, well, Krishna might have his agenda, but Krishna, after all, you are Arisudana. You are Arisudana, killer of your enemies. What do you understand my position? Right? And he tried to justify. Let me be the battleship. But now he has come to the conclusion, no, this is a lighthouse I am fighting against. I better align myself with what is desired of me. That is my perfection. So, therefore, Arjuna is presenting himself as a Kripana, as one who is miserly. So, what exactly is Krishna's desire? How do we understand that? So, one possibility which Srila Prabhupada recommended was praying to Krishna, "Please, O Lord, give me the right direction." Just like Gajendra, the elephant, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he prays to the Supreme, "Please give me intelligence. Whoever is the Supreme Person, please accept this offering from me." So one can actually pray sincerely. But Srila Prabhupada in this purport, he says that by divine arrangement, one's life is perfect if he comes in contact with Krishna or his bona fide representative, from whom one can take instructions. Right, so that's what Arjuna is asking Krishna. "Please tell me in an unequivocal unequivocally what exactly I should be doing." So he's coming to that conclusion that I want a single pointed answer. And Arjuna's example here is very pertinent and sterling. So in the most difficult times, Arjuna is exemplifying that it is possible to think like that, that there must be one way out. There must be one thing that Krishna wants us to do. Let me try and understand that. So Prabhupada further elaborates on the perplexities of this material world, and he says that it is actually not a place for gentlemen. It's not a place for, this material world is not a place for any gentleman to stay in. But if one takes the position of Arjuna, as he is taking in this verse, not before, but as he is taking in this verse, and prays to Krishna for intelligence, then as Krishna explains, we'll explain in the 3rd chapter, that one will be in this world, but not of this world. Brahman adhaya karmani sangam taktva karoti yaha lipyate na sapapena padma patra ivambasa. That if one puts himself in connection with the Supreme Consciousness, sangam kyaktva karotiyaha, and gives up material association, then the instruction to Arjuna is, you will not be implicated in sin. Lipyatena sa papena. Padma patra ivambasa. And the example is given of a lotus leaf. A lotus leaf, it is in water, but it is not drenched by the water. So you pick a lotus leaf out of the water, and immediately it's completely clean. So that's the position of a person who aligns himself with Krishna. So Arjuna's fighting is not ordinary. Or Krishna's instruction to Arjuna to please fight is not ordinary. Because all he is requesting Arjuna is to be integrated with his divine will. Again, there is this story that one man, he got a dream. And in his dream, the Lord appeared and told this man that, "I have an instruction for you. Would you like to take this from me?" He said, "Yes, O Lord. My instruction to you is that there is a big rock lying outside your house. Go and push it. Keep pushing against it." Man said, "Okay." He went outside next day, and every day he had a dedicated agenda of pushing against this rock. And he did this. He did this for several days, weeks, months. And he found that this rock was not budging an inch. So one day, Maya, or the Lord's external energy, attacked him in his mind. And he said, "What nonsense is this? What instruction is this? The Lord said you move it, but it is not. The Lord said you push against it, but it hasn't moved even an inch so far." This man thought, "Yeah, that is correct. Perfect logic." So he decided to relax a bit. But then he thought, "Let me anyways pray to the Lord. Why he has given such an instruction?" So he prayed to the Lord, "Why have you given me the instruction for pushing against this rock?" And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Dear devotee, my instruction to you was what? To push against this rock. My instruction to you was never to move the rock. You push the rock, and when I am satisfied, I will move it." Right? So, similarly, the instruction Arjuna got was not to win the war, but to fight the battle. Jatayu, simply by fighting the battle, even though Jatayu, Prabhu, lost the war, but he won the battle against Ravana. Why? Because he pleased Lord Ram. So Lord is very seriously takes one's intention. Therefore his name is Bhavagrahi Janardana. There's a very nice series of verses in the first canto, 7th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Vyasadeva, after being instructed by his spiritual master Narad Muni, so everyone has a spiritual master. Any bona fide acharya has a spiritual master. So Srila Vyasadeva, who is the compiler of the Vedas, he had a spiritual master. So therefore, if we meet any spiritual guru, the first question we should ask is, who is your guru? Who is your authority? There are so many gurus also who preach that, no, you must have a guru. You must have a guru. But you go and ask them, what about you, sir? And they'll say, well, I don't have a guru. I don't need a guru. So you're contradicting. Acharya means what he speaks, his prachar and his achar are in harmony. There's no discrepancy. So Srila Vyasadeva is preaching the importance of accepting a spiritual master, accepting guidance, and he himself accepted guidance from Sripad Narad Muni. So it's explained that Srila Vyasadeva, he was seated on the banks of the Saraswati River at Tamya Prasha in his ashrama. Srila Prabhupada explains that Srila Vyasadeva was sitting in his ashrama. How can we call the house of a householder as an ashram? So Srila Prabhupada explains, any place where Lord Krishna is worshipped with single pointed devotion, that is an ashram. That is the purpose of an ashram. If that doesn't happen, then even the most austere place is not an ashram. So he is worshipping. And what happens? When he fixes his mind by engaging it in linking with the Supreme Lord, what does he see? Bhakti yoge namanasi samyak pranahite male apashyat purusham purnam maya chadat apashrayam. So Srila Vyasadeva, he sees the absolute personality of Godhead. He has a vision. Along with him, the Supreme Lord, he also sees his external energy. And he sees that the external energy is under the full control of the Lord. Not that the Lord is struggling to dabbling with the external energy. No, he's in complete control of the external energy, which is subservient to the Lord. And then, Shuddha Goswami explains, Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute nartham tatkritam cha vipadyate. And then, what Srila Vyasadeva sees next? He sees that the living entity is actually, Arjuna for example, is actually transcendental to the three modes, to the circumstances. Arjuna is actually transcendental to the circumstance in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But still, because he thinks himself as a product of matter, because of that what happens? He gets completely entangled. Because he thinks himself a product of matter. So that is the first instruction which Lord Krishna is going to give. That please do not think yourself a product of matter. So to align Arjuna with what Krishna wants, the first instruction is don't think you're a product of matter. Prabhupada explains in the purport very nicely, there are two things that happen when you think yourself a product of matter. You think that these relatives, I will protect all of them. Is it guaranteed that if Arjuna were to survive and Bhishma Dev and everyone would survive at a ceasefire were called, Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, all of them would still survive for a long time? They might perhaps die even before the battlefield where it's supposed to end. Right? So that was an illusion. That, oh, I will not fight with them. Then they will all be surviving and we can all enjoy. And Krishna shows us very, very much in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. All Bhishma, Drona, all of them, they are all the soldiers, they are actually entering the mouth of the Vishwarupa form of the Lord. Kalosmi lokaha, shaykut pravrdha, lokan samahar tumiha pravrdha. In the form of time, I am actually waiting to devour everyone. So that is the first symptom, to think that, because I am there, I will take care. I will take care of Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya. They will all not die. That's the first illusion. And then you get attached. Because they are all related to you. So Srila Vyasadeva is saying that the reason why the living entity is getting so bewildered, Arjuna is getting so bewildered, because he is thinking that everything is produced from matter. He is a product of matter. So this is a skin disease. And Krishna is going to attack. And this, the skin disease of Arjuna, his confusion we can see is widespread now. Everyone is taught in the colleges. Everything about body, everything about the functioning of heart, not everything, whatever little they speculate, but there's absolutely no information about the soul. So that is why the entire world is suffering, because they are suffering from the same skin disease that Arjuna had. And Srila Prabhupada, he was once in San Francisco, and devotees brought many professors, elite personalities, to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he would unhesitatingly defeat all of them. He was merciless in calling them fools and rascals. Why? Because he felt compassion that these people are not only living by this principle that I am the body, but they are also propagating it. That everything is produced from matter. So Prabhupada was not compromising ever. Because he understood this is the basic problem, flaw. Same problem that Arjuna suffered, everyone is suffering now. Now one may wonder, well, Arjuna had Krishna by his side. But Srila Vyasadev in his vision, he is giving very nice recommendation. So important thing is, problems everyone will have. Arjuna had the problem of having to stand in between his cousin, all his brothers. Brothers on one side, brothers on the other side. So that was his dilemma. So one may think, well, by following Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna ceased to have any problems. But that's not really the case. It is not the burden of life that weighs us, but it is how we handle the burden that weighs. Just to give you an example, there is eagle has a very peculiar way in which it reacts to hurricanes. So when there are hurricanes, what does the eagle do? The eagle anticipates the coming of a hurricane. And it lifts itself up to as high as possible. And then it positions itself in such a way that when the hurricane actually comes, the eagle is actually thrown up outside the realm of the hurricane. Right? That's how the eagle protects itself from hurricanes. Interesting, right? So, while this material world, identification with the material world is the cause of a problem, the same circumstance could be the cause of our deliverance if we add Krishna element, the Supreme Lord's instructions. Right? So, said, Samashritaye padapallava plavam, mahat padam punya yesho murare, bhavam buddhir vasta param padam param, padam padam yagdi padam na desham. So there will be obstacles as long as we are in this material world. But when a devotee takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, mahat padam punya yesho murare, murari, any of the muradiban, what happens? That same ocean of difficulties shrinks to the size of the hoof print of a calf. The same situation can become favorable, can propel us towards the Supreme Lord. So, there's a former president, F.W. de Klerk of South Africa. So he used to get death threats every day. And he was asked, he was a very devout Christian. And he was asked, how do you handle it? And he says that, I handle all these pressures by my vertical connection with the gentleman up there. That's how he explained. But the point is, if one establishes a divine connection just like the eagle, it uses the winds favorably for getting out of this place. Similarly, the very situation in which Arjuna was, the very situation in which we all are, can be the cause of our deliverance. And how? It's explained by Srila Vyasadeva. Anarthopashamam sakshat bhakti yogam adokshaje lokasya ajanato vidvam chakre satvata samhitam. It's explaining this material miseries of the living entity actually very superfluous. Just like superfluous means there's some dust lying on your body and you blow it. And it goes. It's superfluous. So it's not really a part of the body of the living entity, these material miseries. They can be directly mitigated. How? By the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadeva compiled the Vedic literature, which is in relation with the Supreme Truth. So,
Srila Vyasadeva has given us the same fortune which Lord Krishna had, which Arjuna had in the form of Lord Krishna. He turned to Lord Krishna, Srila Vyasadeva has given Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna has of course left also Bhagavad Gita. Because Lord's words are non-different from Him. There is no difference between the Lord and His sound vibration. And there is also no difference between the Lord and words spoken by Him. All it needs is the living entity to take it seriously. Krishna is the Lord is ten times more eager to reciprocate with us, not only in His personal form, but also in the form of His words. Srila Vyasadeva identified this. Identifying this for the deliverance of everyone, he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam literature. And he says, Yasyam Vaishuna Mayanam Krishne Parama Purushe Bhaktir Utpadyate Pumsaha Shokamoha Bhayapaha. He's explaining simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature or to the instructions of Krishna which are going to come in Bhagavad Gita, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna sprouts at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearlessness. So, just like in a forest fire, there is uncertainty at every step. Similarly, Prabhupada explains in this purport that this material world is filled with perplexities. They will spring up without your anticipation. I mean, as a testimony to the instructions that Arjuna got and how he absorbed them, after the battlefield of Kurukshetra was fought and Duryodhana was lying, struggling, Ashwatthama, he wanted to avenge. And thinking like that, he concocted a plan. He went and chopped off the heads of the 5 sons of the Pandavas when they were sleeping in the night. And when Draupadi, Arjuna, they saw this, Draupadi could control her tears. But Arjuna said, I will wipe your tears after going and chopping off the head of this Ashwatthama, the heinous murderer of our children. Not only has he killed them when they were Nihatta, when they were unarmed, sleeping in the night, but he has not even pleased his master Duryodhan. Duryodhan was not pleased. He said, what nonsense is this? You have killed them while they were sleeping? This doesn't behoove a Kshatriya. So you have not even pleased your master. So Arjuna vowed to chop off the head of Ashwatthama and bring it as a gift and ask Draupadi, you should stand on the head and perform and bathe, wash your tears and then perform the last rites. And Arjuna and Lord Krishna, they started chasing after Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama, sensing danger, he chanted mantras. He sprinkled water and chanted mantra to invoke the Brahmastra. Now, Arjuna started feeling the heat of the Brahmastra, but he didn't know what it was. And there was a similar perplexity explained in the Bhagavatam at that time. So Arjuna, in great anxiety, is saying, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho Bhaktanam Abhayankara Tam Eko Dahyamananam Apavargo Sitam Spritehe. So that's another trouble situation. It's not that Arjuna, after hearing Bhagavad Gita, had no troubles in life. But what changed in Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita and after Bhagavad Gita was the way he approached situations. So I'm just trying to highlight this point that it is not the burden of life that weighs down us. It is actually how we handle them. So Arjuna, how did he handle? He turned to Lord Krishna and said, my dear Krishna, you are the almighty personality. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. And there is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. It's a prayer Arjuna is offering in the midst of Brahmastra. Just like offering his prayers when a nuclear bomb has just been broken. Right? So, it's a very testing situation. Easy to speak this verse, but very difficult to even think of living it. And he's saying, everyone is in the flame of material miseries and he can find the path of liberation in you only. Prabhupada says in the purport, Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war. So, you see the effect of the divine instructions in which both of them were present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is especially the cause of fearlessness for the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. So this was the effect of hearing Bhagavad Gita. And then Krishna, Arjuna keeps glorifying Lord. Tomadya purusha shak sakshad ishvara prakrate paraha mayam vyudasya chikshaktya kaivalye sita atmani. And he's saying that you are the beyond the purview of the material energy. Like that, he is glorifying Lord Krishna. And then Lord Krishna gives him instructions. What you should do. You counter it with your own Brahmastra. And then Lord Krishna, before he even launches the Brahmastra, he circumambulates Lord Krishna 3 times. Offers him respects. And then launches his Brahmastra in counteracting. Here, Arjuna is requesting Krishna, please, unequivocally, tell me what I should do. But in that second, the other pastime which I am describing, Krishna later on gives an equivocal instruction to Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna that Ashwatthama is now being chained, much later. Draupadi says he should be released. Yudhishthira says he should be released. Bhimsen says no, he should be killed. So you have to satisfy me, myself and Bhimsen, who insists that he should be killed. And you also have to satisfy Draupadi and others. So Prabhupada says it's an equivocal instruction. Whereas here, Krishna has been asked by Arjuna, please give me an unequivocal instruction. But even in the midst of that, Krishna was just testing him. Arjuna understood Krishna's language. And he satisfied both parties by chopping off the hair and the jewel sitting on Ashwatthama's head, which meant that he completely insulted Ashwatthama. For a person whose honor, dishonor is worse than death. At the same time, he didn't literally kill him. So this is the effect, that once you are in communion with the Supreme Lord, you understand the heart of the Lord. People are there who try to understand the heart of the Lord without becoming first a disciple, without submitting that I am a fool. That's what Arjuna is saying. Karpanya, I'm a kripana, I'm a miserly person. I don't know what the goal of life is. That's how he submitted. And in that humble state of mind, Krishna sowed in his heart the divine seed of transcendental knowledge and realization. Very nicely described in the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. How Krishna, when someone worships the Lord, Krishna reciprocates by giving in that devotee's heart the divine light of transcendental knowledge. And even if he is incapable, Tesham evanukampartam aham ajnana jamtam, I personally go into his heart and dissipate the darkness. So when one establishes a relationship of servitude with the Supreme Lord, of trying to please the Supreme Lord becomes subordinate. And he goes out of his way to give right knowledge and direction to such a devotee. So, anyways, we are run out of time. Thank you very much for your kind attention. How long we should end, right? So, do we have some questions? Do we have time for questions? So, thank you for your attention. You can perhaps take a question or two. Thank you. Any comments? No? And we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.